Hosea chapter 9, Fred Pierce. At a time of general rejoicing, probably on the occasion of some religious festival, such as a harvest, Israel are bidden not to exult like other nations, for they have loved the hire of a whore. The word is Ethan. See Deuteronomy 23, verse 18, which reads, "Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God." And this word Ethan occurs 10 times in the Old Testament, always in this sense. The corn floor had been the scene of their idolatry, either because the corn was regarded as a reward for serving Baal, or because it was associated with corrupt rites. For the corn and the wine they exulted in should not last, for the new wine shall lie to her, as Israel had lied to their God. God had resolved they should no longer dwell in his land. The expression is noteworthy. Compare with, "The land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me," in Leviticus 25. It is highly likely that some individual Israelites had already sought refuge in Egypt, or soon would do so, and the allusion here may be to such. But in view of verse 5, "He shall not return into the land of Egypt," that's chapter 11, verse 5. It seems better to take the phrase symbolically here, signifying a return to bondage. For the literal deportation was to be to Assyrian territory, where they would eat defiled bread, because in a land defiled by the worship of idols, Israel shall eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles. So Egypt takes on a symbolic sense in anticipation of its use in Revelation chapter 11. Under the law, drink offerings were to accompany all burnt and peace offerings, and all feasts, because of the famine, they would not be offered, and their very bread would seem like that consumed at a funeral. It could be used only as food for their natural lives, with no thought of offering it to God, because being the food of a pagan land, it would be polluted. When they found themselves in exile, what would they do then to celebrate the festivals, such as the Feast of Tabernacles, that universal expression of joy and gladness? Those who flee to Egypt because of the spoil, that is the Assyrian, no doubt some prominent members of the nation would be buried by Memphis, the celebrated seat of idolatry, the worship of Apis, the original of Jeroboam's calf, and a vast burial place. Their dwellings with their treasures should be invaded by thorns and nettles. Israel have sought the false prophet and the man that hath the spirit, a man walking in the spirit and falsehood, who lies, or a lying spirit. They shall realize that the day of reckoning has come, and the meaning of verse 8 is obscure. But probably Hosea is identifying himself with the watchman of Ephraim in the translation. "Even the prophet on all whose ways is the fowler's snare, even rancor in the house of his God," according to the speaker's commentary. And that conveys the unhappy lot of a faithful witness for God in the midst of a faithless nation who resented his rebukes. And the present corruptions of the nation are like that scandalous action of the dissolute Benjamites, sons of Belial, who outraged the concubine of the Levite at Gibeah, one more example of an indirect allusion to their past history. Such iniquity can only bring God's judgment upon them. The fathers of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, have been as refreshing to God as grapes in the wilderness, and as the early figs, renowned for their sweetness. But Israel, for their part, instead of separating themselves unto God, like the Nazarites, devoted themselves to the shameful idolatry of Baal Peor and became as abominable as their idol. The shame is Bosheth, substituted for Baal, which means Lord or Master. Jerubisheth for Jerubbaal. Note the second incidental allusion to Israel's earlier history within two verses. Ephraim the fruitful shall become barren, and even when their children survive, they shall be bereaved, because God has left them, as Moses had warned them centuries before, ye shall be left few in number. Although verse 13 is obscure, the general sense seems to be that Ephraim was like unto Tyrus in her prosperity and security, according to most Jewish commentators. Tyre's wealth and safe position on her island off the mainland was celebrated, yet her children should be slain. Of verse 14, there are two contradictory interpretations. The first, that Hosea, in his pity for Israel, considers that since the children are only to be slain, the greatest blessing Israel could receive would be not to have any. So he prays, therefore, that they may be barren. The second interpretation, that the prophet is so indignant at the enormity of the corruption that he prays for their barrenness as a divine judgment. The commentators who see Hosea chiefly as a prophet of mercy tend to favour the first interpretation, but it must be admitted that the second, stern as it is, better suits the context, which is one of unrelieved condemnation. In any case, it must be borne in mind that in the ancient world, failure to bear children was a disgrace and a calamity. Verse 15 provides still another allusion to Israel's past history, but it was in Gilgal that they first gravely departed from God in desiring a king like all the nations, and where he showed his displeasure at their great wickedness in the thunder. Other allusions to God's disapproval of their desire for a king are found elsewhere in Hosea. Gilgal had evidently now become a notorious center of idolatry, and her princes were rebellious. There's a play upon words here also. The Seiraim are Sorim. All their rulers are revolters. And so they should be driven out of God's house like a child not loved, no longer acknowledged as lawful offspring. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Smitten with barrenness, Ephraim should be cast away by God, who never forsakes unless he is himself first irrevocably forsaken. And his people would become wanderers among the nations, fugitives and vagabonds in the earth like Cain. According to the warning given them through Moses 600 years earlier, I will scatter thee among all people. There shalt thou find no ease. Wanderers among the nations. This wonderful prophecy, delivered nearly 800 years before Christ, must not be allowed through familiarity to lose its unique power. For of what other nation has it ever been said? And of what other nation has it ever proved so true?